Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Mishpachat Klein from Panama. Zaku Baruch Hu Chimabayim. Where are you guys from? Panama also. What's your name? Mishpachat Shrem also here with us from Panama. Fantastic. Rabbi? Rabbi Harush, everybody knows, does amazing work with his tzedakot in Eretz Israel. It should all help him, Be'ezrat Hashem. Do wonderful things for the Jewish people, for the Jewish families. Anyone that needs to know anything about him could speak to Haybert. Joey Haybert's very, very involved for many, many years in helping and doing amazing mitzvot together with him. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated to Lili Nishmat and in loving memory of Annette Amos' mother, Rabbanit Madeline Pinto. Rabbanit Mazal Bat Simcha Leshalom by Annette and Gabriel Amos. Also dedicated in loving memory of Miss Lily Safra, Lili Nishmat Lea Bat Chana, where philanthropy has reached so many throughout the world. Dedicated in honor of Moshe, Yaakov, and Benny, and their success in their learning by Batya and Shmuli Kahan. That is incredible. To sponsor Torah in honor of more Torah. More Torah for your children. It's gorgeous. Breakfast in the Class dedicated in loving memory of Lili Nishmat, the Delba Victoria, by Allison and Ricky Sutton. Please make Birachot Lili Nishmat, Gan Eden. Finally, the Breakfast in the Class sponsored by David E. Ash and the new website, where you can purchase stuff at capacityforgood.com. Of course, my friends, for those of you who are not aware, the new t-shirts just went live. I survived the toaster fire of 2021. If you want to be part of it, and if you remember those days, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Yeah. All I want to say is that the t-shirts are not co-sponsored by Shai and Sammy. You just have to buy those yourself. Okay. My friends, I want to focus on a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says, Ve'lo sham'u, the Bnei Yisrael did not listen el Moshe, to Moshe Rabbeinu, mikotze ruach ume avodah kasha. They did not listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikotze ruach means from a shortness of breath, ume avodah kasha, and from difficult work. Their work was very difficult. So they couldn't listen to Moshe. Now, it's an interesting thing. If you try and understand what is this pasuk trying to say, and many of the Mefarshim speak extensively about exactly what was going on over here. What didn't they listen? What couldn't they hear? What was going on here? What does this mean? Kotze ruach avodah kasha. What's the difference between the shortness of breath and difficult work? What's the difference between those two things? Not only that, by the way, what comes first? Working hard or hardly breathing? Working hard. So what should the pasuk say? Me'avuda kasha u'mekotze ruach. Right? So I wanted to suggest a very simple idea. We don't have much time today because my voice has run out already. And I don't want to push it for today. So we'll have a little bit of a shorter class today. But the class, even though it's a little shorter, it's a profound concept. You know, if you think about what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, what was he asking for? What was he telling them? He was coming to the Jewish people to tell them that they were going to be set free. That's what he was telling them. Now, what did Moshe Rabbeinu ask from the Jewish people in exchange for this freedom? Sometimes someone calls you up and they say, listen, Shlomo, I have a fantastic opportunity for you. All you have to give is $64.20 down, $300 a month. Someone tells you, I want to come, I want to give you this free vacation. You just have to spend 90 minutes listening to the timeshare pitch, and they never let you leave until you sign up. They drive you crazy for the rest of your life, okay? There's always an ask when there's a give, right? So sometimes it's difficult to listen to the ask, because the give, because you know what, there's a big ask. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people he's going to set them free. And what does he ask them for? Nothing. What's so difficult? How much does it take to listen? What are you working hard? Well, you can't work and listen. I don't know if anyone here ever goes to work out in the gym or run on a treadmill or in the park. What do people do? Everybody you see in New York City. If a guy is running and he doesn't have AirPods or headphones in his ear, you think the guy's a serial killer. What's wrong with this guy? Right now, I don't know if you noticed, the AirPods used to be very small in the ears.
Now it got fashionable to wear over the ears. You're sweating and you're wearing these giant monstrosities. And as time goes on, and they're getting bigger and bigger. I saw someone running in the park yesterday. Legit, half of his head was covered with these boxes. It was a combination. It was the love child, Rabotai, of headphones and earmuffs. Right? What are they? They're running and they're listening. Is it hard to listen while you work? They couldn't hear Moshe. Why? Because they were working hard. They were struggling to breathe. What are we talking about over here? What was so hard to hear? Wasn't the message easy? Wasn't the message something that they wanted? Wasn't there no ask? My friends, I want to share something with you that I think is just gold. And the answer is no, 100%. No. Yeah, you can listen to music. You can listen to music when you're running. You can listen to a podcast about a book. But I want to ask you a question. Someone calls you Bar Minan on the phone, God forbid, and they give you very bad news. Someone calls you on the phone, you answer the phone call while you're running. The guy says, Hi, my name is David and I'm calling you from the IRS. 100% of people, what do? They stop running. Maybe to gather up energy to run faster away, maybe, Sammy. But they stop running. Sorry, what did you say?
IRS doesn't make calls.
IRS doesn't make phone calls. Okay. Good to know. Maybe I could start answering the phone more often then. My friends, yeah, you get a phone call. It's very serious, right? Or your broker calls you and he tells you, I want to tell you, you won money. Right? What happens? You want to find out how your portfolio did. The guy that we did great. We killed it. How much did we win? You keep running? No. My friends, to hear something, you could keep working. You could be out of breath. But to listen to something requires concentration. I'm talking to all the parents out there. I'm talking to all the husbands and the wives out there. When you want to listen, you have to stop what you're doing. And if you can't stop what you're doing, then understand that you can't listen. Because if you're not focused on what the person is telling you, you can hear what they're saying, but you're not listening to them. If you're scrolling, you're not listening. I learned this lesson from my wife. I didn't watch her doing it, she told me. If you're scrolling, you're not listening. By the way, 100% right. Especially someone like me. I zero in, I focus on whatever I'm doing, like 100%. If I'm reading a book, or if I'm learning, and someone walks by, shalom, 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 I don't even hear. Right? I'm dialed in. So someone's trying, and you think you're multitasking, well, you're not listening. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, and this is the best news. And this is news that you don't need to give anything for. You're still not listening. My friends, a lot has been written on what's called active listening. A lot has been written on the process of listening, but I just want to mention, and I want to express one thing. When someone is talking to you, and they're trying to communicate something that's important, if you're busy doing something else, although you heard the main gist of the idea, and that's what men love to do, don't we? Your wife says you're not listening. 100% of the time, what do we say? I was listening. You asked me to go to the store. And we have this remarkable ability, because we know between ourselves, only between the men here, right? We know, you know yours. Hadda's already folding his arms over there, right? You know you weren't listening. But you have the ability to recall the last 10 seconds of videotape. You could go to the videotape and somehow miraculously, a lot of times you get it right. She's like, I didn't say 6 bananas. I said 3 bananas and 6 mangoes. Like, okay. Right? We have the ability to recall it. But that's not listening. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, my friends, this concept of listening is one of the most important skills in any relationship. And if the Pasuk is telling us that they were unable to listen because they were working hard and they were out of breath, even though the message they were getting was about not working hard and about not being out of breath, they still couldn't hear it. They could not listen to Moshe. What that means, my friends, is that you need to make time to listen to the people in your life. Shema Yisrael. If a person is not literally spending time, not doing anything, and only listening, then they're not doing their job. Because you'll hear the basic idea, but you won't hear what's underneath. And I want to express what this idea looks like. In Perashat Shemot, we read about Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's one of my favorite Divrei Torah in the whole Torah. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to his brothers, Vayetze Elechav, Vayar Besivlotam. And he saw in their suffering. Now anyone who speaks Hebrew will know that the letter Bet in that Pasuk does not add anything. What would it mean if it said, and he went out to his brothers, Vayar Sivlotam? What would that mean? And he saw their suffering. Now let's read it the way it is. Vayar Besivlotam. And he saw their suffering. Same thing. The answer is no. No. Seeing their suffering means understanding it on the surface level. Seeing Besivlotam means not seeing their suffering, but seeing in their suffering. I want to give an example about what this looks like. Let's say, as an example, you have a yatom, a yetoma. Unfortunately, they lost their father. God forbid, they lost both of their parents. Let's make the example even sharper. They lost bar minan, both of their parents. Very lovely person from the community hears about this terrible tragedy. He walks into the shiva, and he says to the children, he says, listen, I heard about what happened, terrible car accident, listen to me. From now, until every one of you is married, I'm taking on myself to pay for all the groceries, for all the clothes, for all the vacations. I'm going to pay for bar mitzvahs. I'm going to pay for the weddings. I'm sure that the yitomim, that the orphans, would be very grateful to this man. But I want you to imagine that the man turns around a few minutes later. He says, I don't understand. Why are you crying? I said I was going to pay for everything. Everyone will look at this guy like a piece of garbage. Moron. You solved one of the problems that they have, the financial problem. But the crying, the tears, they're not crying now because they're thinking about their fiscal picture. They're crying because they miss their daddy. They're crying because they miss their mommy. That's a person who sees, he's vayar sivlotam. But he's not seeing bisivlotam. He's not seeing that the kid is thinking to himself, now I'm going to go to school. And by the way, this is how children think. Who's going to take me to school now? They're not thinking they lost their mother. They think to themselves, who's going to take me to school now? All my friends are going to think it's weird, right? This is how 7-year-old kids. All my friends are going to think it's weird that everyone else's parents brought them to school. And someone else, my brother brought me. My uncle brought me to school. That's how a kid processes this grief. My friends, how is Moshe able to see in their suffering? The Midrash says something remarkable. The Midrash says that he saw that the men were given women's jobs and the women were given men's jobs. They were forced to carry in ways that were uncomfortable for them. The children were given jobs for the old and the old were given jobs for the young. The Egyptians managed to use some level of psychological torture aside from the physical torture they were giving the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just see that someone was working hard, that someone was being beaten. He saw that they were given jobs that were not appropriate for them. My friends, I want to ask you a question. I want you to imagine for 1 minute you're in Egypt. I want you to imagine all the terrible things that are going on in Egypt are happening around you. Do you think to yourself, you come home at the end of the day and you say, honey, today was a disaster. Really? Why? Did they beat you? Yes, they beat me, but they beat me yesterday also. Did they kill another one of the children? They killed another one of the children. But you know what really grinds my gears? You know what really gets me upset? When the guy asked me to carry the bricks, he told me that I can't carry it on my shoulders, I have to carry it on my head. And that's not the way that men carry bricks. Did anyone come home to their wife at the end of the day and say that? No. They were focused on the big picture, I'm sure. But what Moshe was able to do was to see in their suffering. He saw all the different parts. Even the parts that maybe on the surface they didn't notice. And how does Moshe do that? And how does a person listen? And listen totally to someone else? The Pasuk says, Vayetze el Echav. He left his place. And where did he go? He went to their place. The process of hearing someone totally is to go to their place. And unless you're capable of doing that, you didn't really get it. Is there anything that a father or mother wants to do more in the world for their child than to take away their pain and to make them happy and to protect them? Anything? I'll give you an example. I had one of my kids in school being bullied. I hear the words, forget it. I fly into a rage. Go walk into my kid's room. I say, tomorrow, coming to school, I'm gonna yell at this kid who's bothering you. I'm gonna tell them if they ever bother you again, I'm gonna beat them to a pulp. Right? Never lay a finger on my kid, et cetera, right? Nobody touches my kid. God bless us. Those self-righteous parental moments. What does my kid tell me? It's going to get worse if you do that, Abba. If they're making fun of me before, and now my father has to come down to take care of my business, it's going to get worse, Abba. They're going to make more fun of me. What did I hear? I heard the surface level. What's the kid feeling? The kid feels that other kids feel that he's powerless. Isn't this going to make him more powerless? But I didn't sit long enough to hear what the real problem was. So I didn't realize that that's not going to solve the problem. If you want to solve someone's problems, if you want to help, stop what you're doing and get into their shoes and understand them from where they are. My friends, this idea, and I have to share this with you, this idea of listening with complete focus and concentration, leaving your life, leaving what you're busy with, going to where they are, understanding where they are, it is one of the closest feelings you could have to a person in the world. Before you did anything about it, just the fact that someone feels that someone heard me, but not listened to me like Heke, focused, sat with me, asked me questions about what I said, tried to make it clear, didn't minimize it, validated it, without doing anything. You've done something incredible just for having listened. I want to share something that I think is really special about the beauty of listening to another person, what it really means to hear somebody. You know, when someone is smelling a smell, right? Let's say as an example, there's a plant in this room which is giving off a beautiful smell. You walk into the room, you smell that natural perfume from this magnificent flower. You know what you just did? On some level, you just inhaled, maybe tiny, 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 but particles, fractions of particles, atoms, I don't know how small, but something from that flower, correct? That's what you're smelling. The flower is emoting, if you will, it's giving off its smell. And when you smelled it, what did you do? You took some of that flower and brought it into your nostrils, correct? That's what's happening. Is that true? Yes? Yeah? Okay, we have an ENT guy here from his original training, right? My friends, that's what happens. If when you smell a flower, you took some of that flower inside of yourself, when you listen to someone's problems, you took some of that person inside yourself. I want you to hear what that means. The pasuk says, "Da'aga b'lev adam." If there's a worry in the heart of a person, yaschena, let him share it with someone else. If you have a problem shared is a problem halved. If you actually listened to someone, just didn't do anything about it, told them, listen, I don't know if I can help, but let me hear, what's going on? What's bothering you? You leave everything behind. What have you done? You've taken another Jewish person and you've brought them into your heart. What a gorgeous mitzvah to be able to do. And as we've said so many times, when a person does tzedakah, they give money, they get many zechuyot, correct? How many zechuyot does a person who gives tzedakah get? 7. How many berachot does a person... Sorry? 6. I'm trying to help your cause. And how much is the second one if you listen to the person, you give him a bracha, you raise his spirits? 11. Together it's 17. Why? Because it's tov, that's what they say. Now listen to this, my friends. This is remarkable. That means you listen to the person, you made them feel good, and you gave them nothing. How many berachot do you get? 11. You gave them money, and you didn't make them feel good. How many berachot do you get? 6. That means that when a poor person comes to your door, knocks on the door, he's coming to ask you for money. There's two things that you could do to the person. One, listen, give the guy a good feeling, take, you know, and that's 11 berachot. And the other thing you do is give him money. I remember a while ago, there was a comedian. I'm not going to mention his name because the fellow's not the nicest guy in the world. But he's funny. Very cutting humor. Anyway, there was a flood somewhere in the United States. I think it was in Flint, Michigan. I think it was that story. Anyway, he wrote a comment online, social media. He says, I feel bad. I see all other celebrities and football players and rock stars are sending their blessings and their prayers to the people of Flint. Now I feel like an idiot. All I sent was money. You read that comment, you're like, ah, he got him. He sent money. They only sent prayers and blessings. The Gemara tells us he got it wrong. If they truly sent prayers and blessings and not, they weren't posturing online or virtue signaling, they got more berachot than he did. So how many times does it happen that someone comes to collect tzedakah from you, and before he can get into his pitch, what do? You take the money out of your pocket, say, thank you very much, here. And you don't want to hear what the guy has to say. And why'd you give the money? Because there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. But from the berachot, what do we learn? There's a bigger mitzvah to give, the time, the ear. What a magnificent concept. One of the greatest gifts you could give someone in this world is your ear. But only if you do it properly. Hashem should bless us to be able to have the patience to listen. You know, almost no teenager in the world feels that their parents listen to them. Do you know that? It's a statistic I just made up this second. But I've been working with teenagers for a long time, and I even have some. Even when you listen, they don't feel you're listening. Sometimes the reason why they feel you're not listening is because, but you didn't do anything about it. You have to teach your children, and you have to remind your wife and your husband that doing something about it doesn't always have anything to do with listening. I did hear you. I do feel bad. I do agree it's uncomfortable. I do agree that your friends are doing that. I'm not changing my mind just because your friend's parents are out of their minds. But do I hear? Do I feel? And by the way, parents, don't be patronizing. You should feel. They're the only kid that didn't get to go on that trip. I'm not letting you go on that trip. It's ridiculous. Then you didn't listen. Forget the trip for a second. Could you identify with how alone, how unfair it feels to that child? Make him or her feel that you understand how they feel. What a gift to be able to give to someone. And we learn this from the Pasuk, that if a person is working, or if a person is out of breath, if a person is busy, then even if it's the best news in the world, they cannot fully hear it. How much more so if what you're being expected to hear is not what you want to hear? If what you're expected to hear is going to cost you something? If what you're expected to hear is complicated or nuanced and not just you're going free? May Hashem bless us with the patience, with the heart, and with the ear. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.